Welcome back to Prophecy Today. Jimmy DeYoung here at Broadcast Central. That's right. We're home for a couple of days here in Chattanooga, Tennessee. We'll be making our way into Alabama and then other locations around this world, over to North Carolina in the next month or two. Looking forward to the privilege of being able to be on the road. Great trip out to South Dakota, into Oklahoma, and now back home. So glad that you could join us for this 90 minutes of information. My broadcast partner's giving you the details behind current events, headlines you may be reading or hearing about in the news that will assist you in understanding how this prophetic scenario is coming into place exactly at the time in history when, as you, as a student of the prophetic word of God, would recognize we're here at that time. And a key report for each of us who are students of Bible prophecy has to be the Middle East news update of David Dolan, longtime journalist in that region of the world. He knows what's going on behind all the headlines. That's why we go to him on a weekly basis. And David, let's do that. I understand they're talking about the fact that the country, the Arab nation of Sudan, may well be the next Arab nation to normalize relations with Israel. What can you tell us about this information?
Well, yes, Jimmy, it looks definitely like it's on, and that is an important breakthrough, one that we really didn't expect, because the former leader of Sudan was known for his support of Al-Qaeda and of terrorist groups. And in fact, the country was placed on the U.S. list of terrorist states in the 90s after there were attacks on U.S. embassies in Kenya and Tanzania that were traced to not the government of Sudan, but that it had supported that. Well, the Trump administration agreed earlier this week, announced that it was dropping Sudan from the terrorist list because the new transitional government there had vowed to not support any further terrorist attacks and actually put nearly $400 million into an escrow account to pay for some of the damages that earlier terror attacks had caused. So President Trump asked Congress to take Sudan off, and at the same time we learned that normalization talks were indeed going on between Israel and Sudan, very, very quietly, basically back-channel talks with the U.S. at the center, and that probably as soon as next week, formal talks will begin, and the two countries will establish formal diplomatic ties at that point. So this is another surprise, another victory for the region, actually, for Israel. And we'll have to see that it holds, because the transitional government in Sudan is shaky and there are still militant groups there and a lot of Muslim fundamentalists there who are not happy and will not be happy with any relations with Israel. So it's not done till it's done, but it's looking very positive at this point.
And it's going to be a great plus as it relates to the Israeli government and their efforts to try to normalize relations with all of the Arab nations there in the Middle East. However, the Palestinians, who of course were opposed to the agreement, the normalization between Israel and the United Arab Emirates and Bahrain, they're upset, and in fact, their leadership is saying this would be a major disaster if they lose Sudan. Why is that the case, David?
Well, they're exaggerating there. It's not a major disaster. Again, Sudan hasn't played that much of a role in the Arab-Israeli conflict, just one of the Arab League countries that has gone along with the others in their opposition to Israel through the decades. But, they're changing sides, and it's the second major African Arab country that is moving towards relations with Israel. Well, of course, Egypt has had formal relations since the late 70s, since the Camp David peace treaties were signed. But this opens the door very, very wide for maybe Morocco, possibly Tunisia, maybe even down the road a bit, Algeria and some other major large Arab League countries to come on board as well. So it's a major development, and the Palestinians, they want the spotlight on themselves, and they have said all along, until our particular conflict with the Israelis is resolved, nobody else from the Arab world should have relations, and they oppose Camp David, and of course, the late Anwar Sadat was assassinated for making peace with Israel, and they oppose the Jordanian agreement, and any agreement that comes along, they're going to oppose. So it's just their line, their standard line, but it's a sign, another sign, that going around them, which is what President Trump and his team has essentially done, is working. And maybe, and the hope in Washington is, that will eventually draw the Palestinians themselves into the peace tide, but I wouldn't count on that anytime soon, at least not under the current Palestinian Authority leadership.
David, this week, Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, he sounded very much like Ronald Reagan. He made this statement: "We made peace because we, the Israeli people, are very strong, and that government's strong in that region as well." That's pretty right on, solid forward statement, isn't it?
Well, there's no doubt that the regional countries have noticed for some time now that Israel, although it's a small country, physically the size of New Jersey with a population about one-third of California's, even less than that, yet it has one of the best air forces in the world. It has tremendous security contacts all over the place. It has satellites, and of course, even though it's never been stated formally, former Prime Minister Ehud Olmert admitted that Israel has nuclear weapons. So all of its neighbors have been watching all of this and see that Israel is in fact determined to survive, is in fact heavily armed, and out of necessity, of course, not that they want to use nuclear weapons or do any of these things, but they have all this. And so that's very important. But Jimmy, going the other way, we just had a statement this week from a senior Israeli military official that Turkey is now considered by the defense establishment in Israel to be the greatest threat to Israel's survival at this time, surpassing Iran as Israel's most dangerous enemy, precisely because Turkey's so heavily armed and a member of NATO and has a lot of Western weaponry, etc. So, you know, overall, the situation is not moving towards peace in that sense. But it is important, these additional countries joining the peace train, and it is being watched around the world.
David, as you and I, both journalists in Israel for a number of years, you more than me, a long experience there in the Middle East, but you and I know that any foreign dignitary who would visit the Jewish state would have to take a visit to Yad Vashem to understand the mindset of the Jewish people. Now I understand there's a group of lawmakers who want to bring all visiting foreign dignitaries onto the Temple Mount as well when they make a visit to Israel. What can you tell us about that?
Well, again, another sign of the growing centrality and importance of the Temple Mount to Israel, and the fact that more and more people are openly talking about rebuilding a temple there and at least having access to pray there without restrictions. And more prayer going on there, as we've been discussing for the past several years, really. So it would be a natural step. Most world leaders do visit the Western Wall at the base of the Temple Mount, part of the mount, but just a small part of it. Most do that, but going up on the Temple Mount would obviously be another step forward. However, Jimmy, I doubt at this stage that many world leaders would be willing to do that. Almost all of them do go to Yad Vashem when they're visiting the country, although the delegation that came from Bahrain and the UAE did not go up there, but then they didn't even get to Jerusalem because of the coronavirus, which, by the way, is declining significantly, the cases in Israel. They're under 2,000, just a little over 1,000 a day now, which is far less than they were just 3 or 4 weeks ago before the lockdown. But again, they would be probably reluctant, most world leaders, to go up there because, of course, the Palestinians would really throw a hissy fit if they started taking world leaders up there. So we'll see. But if a world leader wants to go up there, I think now that would happen, and there are some that probably would want to do that, despite the predictable Palestinian and really Islamic world opposition to that.
And I can understand why this group of political leaders there in Israel are wanting to have these dignitaries, these visiting foreign dignitaries, enter into the Temple Mount area. It's the most sacred piece of real estate for the Jewish people. David, it's always very important, I do believe, for us to have a conversation with you. Man, you bring to the table such important information, and I so appreciate it. Thank you, my good friend. We'll talk again next week.
Glad to do it, Jimmy. God bless.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, Itamar Marcus is standing by. We're going to talk about the Palestinian media and one Muslim going against another Muslim. That's a very important late-breaking event. You need to hear about it. It's all ahead right here on Prophecy Today.